Welcome to the Call to Learn Table Talk Discussion number 49. And today we will be discussing the sources of the true source, right? That's our main thing. Remember the true source.
And which is Jesus Christ, of course, right?
Yes, yep.
So being that it's Christmas and we're talking about the true source, we thought we would do the prophecies.
Yeah. We're going to do pre-Christmas prophecies. So what? Imagine that you are, before Christ was born, you've studied the Old Testament. Imagine what kinds of questions you would have about what will happen when Christ comes.
Yeah, what to expect.
Yeah, what to expect.
Okay.
Yeah.
So for example, let's start right off with what tribe was he a part of? I mean, during all of the years leading up, all of our heritage, if we're living there at that time, all of our heritage talks about all lineage. You know, that's how we determine who's going to serve in the temple at that time, who works doing caring for the sheep. Every little bit has to do with lineage there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got to know what God's heritage is there.
Yeah.
What is his lineage going to be?
Yeah. So he comes from the line of David. Should be the king. Like if Joseph was his father, he would come directly from King David. Which David had two sons, and one was Solomon and one was Nathan. Solomon's line is the direct loyalty line, the throne of David. And Joseph was the firstborn son in direct line of Solomon and King David. And Mary was from David's son Nathan, and in a direct line from that. So they were both in the royalty line.
Both in royalty line. One was the ruling, would mm-hmm. have been the ruling. Joseph's family is not the king right now.
Because
Rome is ruling and has put their puppet king
yeah.
mm-hmm. in as Herod. So
right.
So therefore, he comes from royalty, but he isn't.
He isn't currently reigning because right. they're under Roman rule.
Yeah. Right. And then, of course, there's the other side of the family that wouldn't have been reigning, which is where Mary's comes from, but it's still part of the royal family.
Mm-hmm. But Mary is also a cousin to Elizabeth, who's a direct descendant of Levi. So Levi got mixed in with that line somehow, and she's from the tribe of Levi and the tribe of Judah, which we never said that David was from the tribe of Judah.
The tribe of Judah, right.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we mentioned, you've said before that there's Benjamin is also part of that.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So you've got Benjamin and...
And Judah are part of that royalty line.
Mm-hmm. Right. So.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. And then what about, all this time, if we're living at that time, we've been hearing about God coming down and the Messiah, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Messiah being there. And he was going to get rid of their enemies. Mm-hmm. And at this time, they're thinking, well, if he comes now, he's going to get rid of Rome.
Yeah, yeah. That's what they were looking forward to. Yay, if he comes now, then we'll be free.
We'll be free from Rome.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're all excited for that. Well, but that would be a man.
Right, that's true.
That's what you're thinking of mm-hmm. as a man.
Mm-hmm.
But we have plenty of prophecies of other things that will explain that he's not.
Right. In fact, Isaiah said that he would be born a child. Unto us a child is born, a son of God.
Right? Yeah. So there's that confusion, understandably a little bit of confusion mm-hmm. there.
Oh, yeah. They expected a man. And some prophecies said, you know, he's going to come. He's going to save the world. He's going to redeem the world. He's going to deliver the world. And they're expecting this great deliverance from Rome because that's the time period they live in.
But don't you think that some of that is the confusion of seeing prophecies all in one, sometimes in the same chapter, sometimes in the same verse? One's referring to his coming as a
mortal.
As a mortal.
Mm-hmm.
As a baby, and the other, or his first coming, and then other times it's referring in the same verse even
oh, yeah.
to his second coming, which would he isn't born into the world then.
Right.
He comes as a resurrected being.
Mm-hmm.
And so that you can understand some of the confusion.
Oh,
the
same... because you have to decipher it. You have to decipher it now even. You know, you need to know and read the scriptures with the Spirit so that you can know which one is messianic, that was going to happen when he's mortal, and which one is second coming, which one's latter day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you definitely need to know the difference between them.
But that's what I'm saying, is that you can understand why people were confused.
Oh, yes.
And why there are so many skeptics, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So not only did he need to come as a child, and we knew that he was going to come as a child, but we also knew that he needed a mother to take care of him if he was going to come as a baby.
So who is his mother going to be?
Yeah, so Isaiah, again, says that she's going to be a virgin. And blessed among women is what Gabriel says. Nephi calls her fair and white.
Yeah, and I tend to think that the fair and white has to do with her countenance, her purity.
Mm-hmm.
You're not gonna... Yeah, she wasn't perfect, because the only perfect one would be her child.
Right.
But you gotta imagine that she would have been really close.
Oh, yeah, she has to be.
And so therefore, that's why I think where that whole virtuous and the
kind, yeah,
the talking about light and, mm-hmm, you know, that she was fair, and it doesn't always mean a fair skinned, light skinned. Mm-hmm. Fair, if you look in definitions and different languages, it has more of a meaning of to do with purity.
Yeah. Well, and the symbolism for white means purity.
Exactly. So I tend to believe that that's her. So are there any other traits or whatnot that we learned from her? Probably her lineage, which we just talked about.
Uh-huh. Yep, we did. But we also learned her name. Not in the Old Testament. It has been taken out of the Old Testament that we did not know her name. But we do know from the Book of Mormon, both Alma and Nephi both call her Mary.
Which says to me that anyone at this time could have known.
Oh, yeah.
Because it could have been taken out since mm-hmm. then.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously it was taken out. It wasn't taken out before 600 years before Christ.
Right.
Because they could have had it from their own, they had it from their own personal revelation as well.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
But likely it was also possible that it was in the brass plates as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So her name was Mary. Any other traits or whatnot that we know?
We also know that his name, like, what will his name be?
Okay.
So,
obviously, we're used to all the normal ones of Emmanuel and Counselor and Deliverer and, mm-hmm. and many, many more.
Redeemer, Savior, yeah. So in Isaiah,
like
it
Jesus.
Talks of it. No, it doesn't. The Emmanuel says his name will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Okay. And then Gabriel comes down and tells Joseph, call his name Jesus.
Which means... I always forget.
So Savior of the world.
Yeah, Savior of the world.
Save them from the sins. Save them from their sins.
Save them from their sins. Yeah. I mean, what an appropriate...
Mm-hmm. So together, God's going to be with us. He's coming down to be with us to save us from our sins. It's not beautiful.
It's perfect.
Yeah, it is.
It's absolutely perfect.
Yep. So next question would be, where then will he be born?
And of course, we know that it was said that he would be born in the city of David, Bethlehem.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else that we learn about that?
Well, that's where the wise men were confused, right? They expected to see him in a castle. And so they asked the king of the Jews at the time, where is this Jesus?
Okay,
well,
so
they
what
didn't
you're...
say Jesus, but they said, where is this king of the Jews?
Okay, so what you're saying is that because they came from Babylon, right?
Most likely, we don't know for sure.
Most
scholars believe that that the wise men were probably Jewish that were still living in Babylon.
Because so many still were. Mm-hmm. Most still were.
Most stayed there.
So that's interesting to me that they're expecting. They know that he comes from the royal mm-hmm. line.
Yeah.
They're not under in Babylon. They're not under Roman rule at this time, right? I don't think they are.
When they're in Babylon? No, they're Babylon's. They're under
right.
Babylon.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I'm talking about the three wise men.
Yeah. No, they just live among the Babylons.
Yeah. So yeah. That's my point being that they don't know that he's not that he doesn't have that his parents aren't on the throne of
right.
Of Judah. I mean, of Rome. Jerusalem.
Yeah, they might know that Rome has taken over, but they see the sign in the sky that he's being born. So they're like, well, surely he must be at the castle then.
Yeah, because he's born to be king of the Jews.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't know. And they were looking
for the king of the Jews. Yeah.
Right. So they go and they don't find him.
Right.
There.
But the scholars say that he's supposed to be born in Bethlehem.
Yeah. So what we're saying is that then Herod had his scholars look it up, and that's where they said that it would be Bethlehem.
And so the wise men go and look in Bethlehem. And in Micah, it talks about Bethlehem, and I love how the Lord talks about it. He says, O Bethlehem, even though you're little among all the rest of the cities, you are chosen.
So that makes me wonder, because you could be talking to, you know, what's the term I'm trying to say? It sounds so sweet. Talking to Bethlehem that way.
Yeah, yeah.
But it could also be talking to the people of Bethlehem.
Oh, yeah,
for and sure. And so my question then is, what were the people like in Bethlehem that, you know, that they the babe is supposed to be born there?
Mm-hmm.
What are the people like?
Yeah.
We don't really know.
We don't know. But I'm sure that, you know, if they understood the prophecy, they're like, our city is going to be the one that Jesus is going to be born, or the Savior is going to be born. And I think that would be kind of nostalgic. You know how we have, like, we are the home of, I don't know, David Barser or whatever, some famous wrestler or something like that, right? We take pride in who belongs to us.
Yeah.
And so they were looking forward to that, but they didn't know when it would come.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Kind of cool.
Yeah, it is cool. All right, so what will he wear is another question.
Yes, and again, that goes back to the idea of, most likely, he would be wearing swaddling clothes anyway. I mean, it says that in the scriptures that he will be. That
was the common thing at the time, yeah.
So the question in a person's mind there wouldn't be so much what that, except that he's the Son of God. He is Emmanuel. He's of royalty. What is that like?
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
So you're thinking about the type of material then. Like he should have been in like this
is it
purple silk or something.
Even if it's always white.
Yeah, okay.
Which, is it silk? Or is it, you know, something...
Linen.
Yeah. Or something else that maybe a lesser family could afford. Where would that be? Where, you know, thinking that way.
Okay. Yeah, we don't know.
We don't know.
Yeah, we don't.
And they wouldn't have known either.
Right, right.
But it's just something to...
But we do know something about the swaddling clothes. When Job was talking about the birth of the earth, he said that it was wrapped in swaddling clothes. The clouds were wrapped in it. So whenever you see swaddling clothes in the scriptures, you're going to find something to do with birth. It's just another testament that he was going to be young.
Right.
He was going to come as a child.
Okay, so then who would be there to witness it?
Yeah, so every birth has a witness, right? Or should have a witness. The father, the midwife, somebody.
Somebody's there.
But in this case, we also have animals that are the witnesses. And I think I think animals are amazing. I think that they add to the story so much. But did they understand that the child is going to be born among animals?
Well, see, that's...
I don't think they did, right? I don't know, because we understand it now that we're looking back on it, but I don't know if...
Well, now that we're looking back... Well, and see, we can always say, I think some people have said, well, how do we know that... You know, they could have shooed the animals out of the way.
Well, yeah.
And they weren't there.
Yeah.
Except that when we look at the prophecies, we see that it talks about an ox and an ass and a...
Doves.
Camels. So, it again, it's one of those things about prophecies, when you start to look back on them, you recognize more of the, how they fit together.
I just love the wording in here, where it talks about, the ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. So they were right there at the birth in the crib, so... Anyway, so that answers the questions of who was the witnesses. It wasn't just Mary and Joseph and maybe a midwife or so. And it wasn't just the shepherds, but it was the animals too.
Right. So yeah. Cool.
Yep. Really cool. All right. So another question would be, what is his social status? What was his financial situation when he was born? What was Mary and Joseph like?
Well, there's a couple things there. One, not everyone would know this, but the father that you see there isn't his father.
Right.
That kind of hurts your social status.
Yeah.
And so that was one thing. But that would have only been around people that knew them.
Yeah.
I mean, they traveled to Bethlehem. People in Bethlehem wouldn't know that.
Yeah. That's true. But also saying they did return to Nazareth and he was treated like, you know, a fatherless son or a fatherless child, I'm sure, and teased quite a bit.
Yeah, like that. But we recognize that, but I'm just saying that, so that was part of their social status,
mm-hmm.
but at this point, in where he's actually born, they wouldn't know that.
Right, right.
But then there's the whole financial part, because now, I don't know, I've heard quite a few times from different people, different authors, read it in different places, he was born with riches, that they were well off, but we know they really weren't.
Yeah.
And the best indication, I think, is really kind of a cool little indication, is the point that when you explain it better, when they went 40 days later after 40 his
days
birth,
after his birth, as they went to you redeem go to the temple. The son.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You go to the temple because the firstborn child, son. Is belongs to the temple,
mm-hmm.
but unless you pay the tax or the offering,
mm-hmm.
and then with that the offering, it would normally be a lamb, but in this case it was doves, and we know this because it mentions that in there, and then we know that with doves it was only when they couldn't afford a lamb, mm-hmm. right? And so, and that we learn from the scriptures.
Yes, in Numbers.
In Numbers, that it's a lamb unless they can't afford it. So now we know that they couldn't afford it.
Yeah.
And you know what? I was getting to thinking about it, and you know, they had to travel from. They were in Nazareth originally, right?
Yeah.
And travel to Bethlehem,
mm-hmm.
which had to have cost something. They may not have had a donkey before they started and had to get that, you know, to help.
Yeah, maybe.
Help. I don't know. But they would have spent some of their, you know, what they did have,
mm-hmm.
they would have spent on
right.
getting to where they needed to be.
And food.
Absolutely.
Places to stay. Yeah, for sure. All right. So what will the angels in heaven be doing? I think this is a fun one that I recognized and went, whoa, wait, what? When I was reading Job, we're often thinking about and talking about how, oh, I was there at his birth. You know, mm-hmm. I was in the choir, or I certainly wasn't in the choir because I don't know how to sing. You know, you hear things like that all the time, right? But were we really there? And in Job, it talks about when the cornerstone is born. So when Jesus Christ was born, yeah. Then all of the stars will be, I forgot how it goes, but all of the stars will be there. And then it says, all of the sons of God are there. So everybody in heaven gets to witness this birth, even though just a few on earth knew.
Well, you imagine it was a big deal. I mean, this is the whole point. I mean, we all were coming to earth, but without that happening,
yeah,
it was all for naught.
Yep.
So it was a big deal.
Yeah, it was a big. So we know that yes, the all of the hosts of heaven, all of the God's sons were there. All right, another question. How will the world even know that he's coming?
And of course we know this.
The whole world, right? The whole world has to know.
And how was that? There were signs.
Mm-hmm. But the sign for the whole world was the star.
And of course that we know that we have proof that it was for the whole world. We have proof from the Book of Mormon.
Yeah.
That it was the whole world because not only did they have the day and the night and the day that was as if it was one day, but a new star appeared.
Right.
And so we know that we have proof now that all, that it was for the whole world, that mm-hmm. that sign was.
Yeah, because both the Old or the New Testament and the Book of Mormon both say that a star was in the sky. Yeah, and because of that, well, that's why the wise men knew, right? The wise men knew how mm-hmm. to go. So when it says the wise men knew how followed the star, stars, you don't follow a star. A star can't stay in one place and you go to where it's shining on. It doesn't work that way. Stars in the sky actually rise and set just like the sun.
And see, that's the interesting thing too, is that they don't shine, even no matter as bright as they may be, except for the sun, they don't shine and give light, like a lot of light. Mm-hmm. It gives you an idea, you know, you're looking up, not down.
Right, right.
So it doesn't come and have the light shine right down that.
Yeah, and we always see that. We always say, "Oh, the light is shining right down on well, on
this Well, in fact, you hear in some of the way it's described, it sounds mm-hmm. that way too.
Well, in the case that they walked from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, the star was in the west sky setting. And so it was almost literally above Bethlehem. Mm-hmm. So you can see in that case, it was almost like pointing.
But you wouldn't be able to do that for the time that it took for them to get there.
No,
that days and weeks and whatnot. No, that's not what would happen. And mm-hmm.
So how we know that is how we follow a star is that Jupiter at that time was going through the constellation of Judah. Which is Leo, the lion, right? So the king planet was going through the Lion King, and his heart is the brightest star in that constellation, which is Regulus, which is the king star. So the king planet in the king of the lions in circling the king star. But two of those nights, so when they first saw Jupiter, could have easily been right next to Regulus brightening that star. Then they followed that star through the constellation, and then it once again it hits Regulus again. And when two stars are back together, the illumination of that is, the magnitude is probably 1,000 times brighter than any other star.
So it's very obvious.
Yes, very obvious.
And it becomes a new star mm-hmm. that disappears too.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the next night it won't be there.
Right.
But it does happen twice in that one time. And that's never happened in 2,000 years. A repeat of that.
Right.
Yeah.
So what gifts would be there?
Yeah, good question. The gifts we knew were going to be there were gold. So they said that the kings will bring them gold and incense.
Right. And so now then there was still the question of what those incense would be.
Right. And that was interpreted by them, right? They knew that they were supposed to bring gold and incense. So what kind of incense? Well, I don't know. We've got frankincense and myrrh. Let's take both.
Well, perhaps. But I think it had more to do with the importance of those incense.
Maybe. Yeah.
There's value. Both of them are very valuable. Mm-hmm. Cost a lot at the time, still cost a lot now.
Yes.
And there's certain rituals and whatnot that you do with them mm-hmm. that would have to do with, that could be associated with
different roles that Christ would play.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Like the gold for the king, the frankincense for the priest, and the myrrh for his death.
Exactly.
So yeah, that definitely could be. But also, all three of them were used by kings. Mm-hmm. You know, and they knew that they were going to see a king. And so therefore, I think they were all for the purpose of being a king.
Okay. And then something we've mentioned before, which is coming up with the next question as far as Egypt is concerned, is, and it kind of goes with, it goes with what was their financial status to what were the gifts, and then that he would be coming out of Egypt. And what that question I'm talking about is, now suddenly those things are very valuable. We don't know how much he received of each. But he received some of all of those. Mm-hmm. And so they could have had quite a bit of money now.
Yeah.
Suddenly.
Yeah.
Which was perfect timing, which would be the Lord's timing, because his is always perfect.
Because he was supposed to flee into Egypt.
Right. And that would cost to do so.
Yeah.
And then he would have to live there,
mm-hmm.
and then he would have to come back out of Egypt
yeah.
to reside where they would later.
Yep.
So that ties all of those together so nicely.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I love the fact that God provides. They needed money to get to Egypt to live there for a while, and they needed to return, and God gave them the money to do that.
So that's pretty cool that that this also, now that we're talking about Egypt, I've always thought that it's been kind of, it could be easy for skeptics to point fingers at the prophecies when they say that he's born in Bethlehem, that he comes out of Egypt, and then he is from
Nazareth.
Because all of those are from things. Mm-hmm. You know, you're from a place.
You can't be from all three.
No.
And they're too far apart.
They're too far. Make sense. Yeah. And so skeptics and non-believers could easily point fingers at the prophecy saying, you guys are nuts.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can't even get it. You can't even get your story straight here. Yeah. You know, why do you think we're going to believe in this?
That's why looking back and seeing that the prophecy is fulfilled is so much richer. You're like, oh, I get it now.
Yeah.
And yeah, because we do know the story. We do know that all three can't happen.
Yeah. And they did.
Yep. Yep. And that leads us to the last question, was where did he grow up? And in Matthew, it talks about how he wanted to, I mean, that how he was good. He lived in Nazareth, and that was a fulfillment of the prophecy that he would be a Nazarene.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's nowhere in the Old Testament that says he's going to be from Nazareth or that he's a Nazarene. So, but we do have it in the Book of Mormon. In the Book of Mormon, I believe it was Alma. Nope, it's Nephi. Nephi saw that that the virgin was going to be from Nazareth, and that he was going to be raised in Nazareth and be raised.
And
in
I Nazareth. Tend to think that it's possible that it did have it in the Old Testament.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But we don't have it now. With all so many precious things taken out,
mm-hmm.
that could have been some of the precious things that disappeared.
Well, yeah, obviously. And we've had lots of things disappear. All right, so that concludes the prophecies, the pre-Christmas prophecies that have been fulfilled, that happened on the first coming of the Savior. And how wonderful. I'm so grateful that we can study this, that we know it, that it's giving us practice to be able to look at the prophecies for the second coming and to prepare us and our children for that.
Yep. It's pretty awesome.
Yep.
All right, then. So we hope that you are able to take this and have it enrich your Christmas experience for this year.
Yeah. Yes, for sure. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.